invite you for the next half hour to join us for interviews, discussion, inspiration, and for strategies to help you fulfill your potential, both in life and in business. Hi, and welcome back to Remarkable Woman Radio. I'm Mandy Beverly, and today I'm talking with Dr. Sharon Walt from healthylivingwithdrsharon.com. So welcome along to the show.
Oh, thanks, Mandy. I am absolutely delighted to be here and fascinated with this, with the setup here.
Well, I'm still learning myself. Luckily, we've got an expert in the room with us to make it all work really well. Now, Sharon, you obviously love to know how things work, right? I mean, I was looking at your background, which is very impressive. So from a background in system design engineering, for a start, that then took you to a PhD in kinesiology, that now you're a health coach, I'm really intrigued as to how those steps became a reality in your life.
Well, I really wish that I could say that it was planned, but it wasn't. It was just kind of following my my interests and the opportunities that came up. But certainly engineering was kind of tailor-made for me because, as you notice, I really like to know how things work. And when I was doing in systems design engineering, we look at the entire system, so it's not just how one part works and try to optimize that one part. You want to look at the whole system because that's what...
That's how it works, isn't it? Because otherwise you're not getting the full picture.
Yeah, and a lot of times what we see happen is if you optimize one part, the whole system fails. You know, you've got one perfectly working part, but it's kind of useless. Anyways, I was fully prepared to go on and look at design in some engineering.
Robotics, was it? Were you getting into that?
Well, it could have gotten that way. But I had to take an extra course or paper for my master's, and a friend of mine had been taking some biophysics course and said, oh, okay, well, you know, I'll give it a shot. And I went in and I was totally fascinated by it. It was finding out that the equations that we use in engineering, that we look at fluid flow, are the same equations that we can use in studying cardiovascular system and blood flow.
Wow.
And I thought, well, this is heaps more interesting in the robotics. So after I finished my master's, I switched faculties and got into applied health sciences and started looking at the human body as a system and all the interconnections there. So that was how one little opportunity in life totally can change, you know, the direction.
Yeah, I think I'll walk in and go and do biophysics and just pick that up. It's not usually something in my vocabulary, but that's wonderful. And when you went on to then do kinesiology, is that the study of the human system as well?
Yeah, so it can have a number of different aspects of it, and the one thing that I focused on there was the biomechanics, so that's understanding on how we move. And things just took off from there. I had the opportunity, as I was finishing up my PhD in biomechanics, to take on a position at the University of New South Wales in Sydney. I just kind of picked up sticks and moved to Australia. It was only supposed to be for 2 years.
And where did you move from?
From Ontario, Canada.
Okay, great. Yeah. Beautiful.
And the contract was only supposed to be for 2 years, and I was there for five. And by that time, I had kind of gotten over Canadian winters big time and loved having an ocean on the doorstep, so it was easy for me to kind of
make that decision.
Yeah, and then I was offered a job in Auckland, and I just flew over and
liked it even better than Sydney, right?
Absolutely. And I really
got to
do
say that.
Yes, and I've been here for 20 years now, so
brilliant. And now you've made another step into health coaching, which is what we're going to talk to you today, because your website is healthylivingwithdrsharon.com. And so what are you focusing, what are you working on at the moment with that, with health coaching?
Well, with health coaching, it does seem like it's a bit of a departure, but again, I kind of stumbled into that because of some personal experiences I had with having to deal with stress and obviously not dealing with it particularly well at the time. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. And what I found is that our medical system isn't particularly well attuned for people that are suffering from some chronic disorders. It's very much, well, here's a symptom, take this pill, yep, let the symptom go away. Unfortunately, that doesn't help with the underlying condition, so you're never going to be feeling well, and that was the experience that I had. And so that's where health coaching fits in, is trying to find out what the, especially in chronic disease, the underlying root cause. And for the most part, it's lifestyle and nutritional needs. Those are things that our traditional medical system does not handle particularly well. They don't have the time. And I'm not dumping on doctors in that, because I think they're very, very hardworking. But the way that the system is set up, they don't have the time to delve into trying to work out all the little puzzle pieces, trying to fit all the symptoms together.
And also, once someone's been dealing with something on a chronic basis too, the signs and symptoms are getting quite, they're morphing, there's layers to them, there's a level of tolerance to
absolutely.
Well, and you know, and that feeling of unwellness that's been there for so long, it must be hard to really kind of to sort of pinpoint exactly the cause of that.
It is, it's really tricky. Plus, if someone's been sick for a while, you're adding in a lot of their emotion and their frustration, and of course that affects their health in a big way as well. So what a health coach does is we try and figure out from all of the symptoms and what the person's able to tell us, is trying to find what interconnects all of these symptoms. Now, it's not usually just one thing.
No.
It can be a number of different things. So you have to kind of, on an individual level, try and figure out, okay, what's this person going to be able to work on first?
And so it actually helps them to empower themselves, because they must be feeling very powerless if it's a chronic problem. Now, just to sort of give a bit of background, you specialize in a really particular form of thyroiditis called Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Yes,
that right?
Yes, absolutely. The reason I got into that is I just run into a number of friends and family members that had been diagnosed, and I have to admit, up until about 3 years ago, I'd never heard of it before, and I think most of us haven't. But it has a very high incidence rate, especially among women. 1 in 10 will have it at some point in time. And it's an autoimmune condition, which means even though it's affecting the thyroid is the victim in this. It's the immune system that is highly reactive. And so if you're trying to, fix it or address it, just giving thyroid hormone is just fixing a symptom. You still have to look at what's causing the immune system to just be overreactive. And that's something traditionally is not being looked at. And I say that because a lot of the research about the immune system has been coming up only in the last 10 to 20 years. So it actually hasn't filtered down to a lot of medical schools yet. And so it's not being addressed in a way that people can say, okay, I'm going to be getting better here. I don't have to rely on the drugs for the rest of my life, which is what's happening now.
Yeah, which is amazing. So you sort of step in and really help people take control of, or actually live more more fulfilled with, you know, what is like Hashimoto's, is that so if it's autoimmune, do the people generally have that for a long time?
They can, and it depends on what's triggering it. So there's, without going into a lot of, you know, like mind-numbing detail here, there's three
nursing background. I don't mind a little bit of that, but maybe our listeners
might three start. Conditions, like you need to have a genetic predisposition for it. Also, you need to have what we call leaky gut, which is increased intestinal permeability. But also, the other thing is some type of external trigger that's going to trigger things. It could be triggering the expression of the gene. So these can be things like chronic stress. It can be an infection. It can be an overload of toxins. And I think everyone would be shocked if they realize the number of toxins that we are daily putting into our body, from cleaning products, skincare products, any personal care product, just the stuff that's in our air, in the water we drink. So all of that can be triggering it. And so I think that's why we're seeing such a big increase in incidence over the years.
Oh, it's fascinating, isn't it? It's just amazing. And with your background and research in that, you must love it to try and figure out how it works. And I imagine you don't leave many stones unturned in your process of figuring it out.
Well, this is something that I really love to do. It's putting the puzzle pieces together, and then once you've got it worked out what the interconnections are and you can look at some different types of strategies, then work with the client to say, okay, what can you do now? Because mm-hmm. there's no sense just telling people, do this, 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 and this. Because in a lot of cases, most people don't live in isolation. They've got family. So if you're telling them, oh, you've got to get rid of or go all organic foods, or, you know, you can't eat gluten anymore, what kind of effect is that going to have on the rest of the family? Are they going to have to, oh, I have to make two separate meals? So that has flow-on effects. So even though we want them to make all these changes, a lot of times you have to determine, okay, what can someone put in place right now?
Yeah.
You don't want to be relying on willpower to make the changes. That yeah. doesn't work.
So you almost need to help them make change easy.
Exactly.
Know,
and what's going to work for them? Like for some of them, I was talking to a colleague who got a phone call from one of their clients that said, oh, you'll be so excited. I've just been able to knock back my consumption of was it Dr. Pepper? Or Mountain Dew, to 6 glasses a day.
What?
And so she's saying, well, okay, that's great. What were you drinking before? I said, oh, I was drinking 12. So, you know, for this, that sounds just mm-hmm. amazing that someone would be drinking that much. But, I mean, the good sign is she recognized that she needs to cut back. But for her, that was a big thing.
Wow.
To cut back. Now, that's not going to solve the problem entirely, but it's a step forward. And so...
And you've got to count all those steps, don't you? They're
absolutely.
Really important. Yeah.
And I think the thing that most people have trouble really getting through to them is that with a chronic disease, it is what's happened after accumulated time of certain lifestyle choices.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a change in those lifestyle choices in order to get healthy again.
Mm-hmm.
There's no magic bullet. And because, say, you're looking at everyone's difference in their genetics, in their lifestyle, their own personal health, mostly the bacteria that they have that's actually in charge of their immune system. One size isn't going to fit all. Like the one solution that might fit someone, and you know they might progress really, really well, isn't going to work for somebody else. It doesn't fit in. They can't handle that kind of change, or it actually isn't working for their physiology. It isn't the root cause for them.
Wow.
So
it's a big process.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing to go that any, you know, it's a step-by-step process.
Absolutely.
You know, and it doesn't have to be hard, and you actually are there to help someone along with those. And you make the most effective change first, or go cold turkey? What is your preference?
What I like to do first is well, the whole process that I go through is before I actually meet with someone, I ask them to fill out a health history form and try and get at least 2 years worth of their blood tests so that I've got a really good idea. So I'm prepared to talk to them and ask clarification questions. So I already have a pretty good idea what some of the issues might be before we actually start talking. And then when we're talking, we try and draw out what they actually are capable of doing. But I like to find something that we can make a quick change first because it gives them the boost that they need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knowing that, okay, I've made this change. I can see that it might not be a huge thing, but it's something we say, okay, this symptom disappeared right here. So it gives them the confidence of knowing, wow, yeah, I can get better.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait around for the magic pill. That's never going to come around.
That's never going to come around.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's never going to come. You've got a blog as well, which we can talk about a little bit later. But I love one of your articles on there is you're saying what your GP isn't telling you. Or what isn't your GP telling you, I think, is one of the articles. And I thought that's actually really clever because there again, the GP sees you for like 10, 15 minutes, you know, tick the box, off you go. They've got a waiting room full and they're overworked as well.
Yeah.
So where you come into it is to actually then be able to build this bigger picture for for your patients, for your clients, to be able to build the picture that someone's actually listening, because once you've got that chronic, you've had that chronic illness for a while, people almost stop listening to you because they think you're complaining all the time, don't they? And you even feel like you're complaining, or we can when we're not unwell for a while. So, so it's great. So check out her blog on healthylivingwithdrsharon.com, and there's some great articles there. Sharon gives a lot of information, and she also, there's a little button to click to have a complimentary talk with you, which 15 minutes. I mean, we've been talking for 15 minutes and we're learning a lot. So I imagine that anybody that is suffering from a chronic thyroid issue will be able to learn a lot from you in that short time.
Yeah, and part of it is just trying to figure out whether I can actually help them or not.
Yeah.
Because I'm very particular about maintaining my professionalism and being within my scope of practice. So if I find that there is something, because I'm not a medical doctor, I want to make that clear right now. If there's something that is beyond that I know that I can't help with, it, that they're better served by someone else, then it's time for me to refer them on.
Or you can be part of the team.
Or I can be part of the team.
Or a GP or a doctor can be part of the team moving forward as well.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break for one of Sharon's favourite songs. It's from Imagine Dragons, called Believers. So enjoy, and we'll be right back.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh, ooh, the way that things have been. Oh, ooh. Second thing, second, don't you tell me what you think that I could be. I'm the one at the sail. I'm the master of my sea. Oh, ooh, the master of my sea. Oh, ooh. I was broken from a young age, taking my soul into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took me, shook at me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the... All the hate that you've heard has turned your spirit to a dove. Oh, ooh, your spirit up above. Oh, ooh. I was choking in the crowd, building my rain up in the cloud, falling like ashes to the ground, hoping my feelings, they would drown. But they never did, ever lived, never been flowing, inhibited, limited, till it broke open, it rained down like...
Woman Radio with Sharon Walt from Healthy Living with Dr. Sharon. And I want to find out, what have you got going on at the moment? What's happening in your life, and any upcoming events or things that you can tell us?
Actually, yes, I've got a couple things that I'm working on right now. One, I'll be doing a workshop, kind of tentatively named now, just Rediscovering Your Energy. And I'm co-hosting that with a colleague.
Mm-hmm. So Rediscovering Your Energy, nice. Yeah,
yeah. Because I'm finding so many people are just, their main complaint is just this chronic fatigue. There's lots of things that cover it. So I think the workshop would be helpful for a lot of people. And that will be, I think it's June 23rd. That's just before school holidays. So
Hopefully we'll find out how to get your energy back for holidays. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing that I'm finally working towards, it's been on the burner for ages now, and I just finally said, okay, now I'm going to announce the launch date so that I have to be ready.
So we're all going to hold you accountable.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to be running an online program. Now, these are for people that, for whatever reason, they just don't find, aren't able to do a one-on-one with me. Mm-hmm. So I'll have an online program that's basically the same type of thing. Let's say rediscovering your energy again. It'll probably be an 8-week program.
Right.
Cool.
So, yes, you can hold me accountable for that. The launch date is going to be mid-May. So that's coming up a lot quicker than I have anticipated.
That's brilliant. And, you know, it's timely. And probably over winter is a really good time to be addressing a lot of these things because we're not out and about as much and things like that. And I know from the mind-body work that I do, I know with chronic fatigue, a lot of that is, you know, the mindset is scattered, you know, and that's stressful these days. People are multitasking to the point of stressing themselves out.
I think that's probably one of the worst things that we've told ourselves for anyone that's in business or anything else that, you know, you have to multitask in order to get everything done. And it's probably one of the worst things that you can do to keep yourself sane in the long run. Mm. So that plus the lack of bright sunlight that we have to deal with in the sun.
Okay. So. Well, that's really cool. And so we touched on the fact of going through from starting off as an engineer and then going into the biodynamics and things like that, biomechanics, sorry. What inspired you to actually take the leap into really helping people at this level?
Mostly because I had gone through a period of time when I was dealing with chronic stress and it got so bad that even with going to see counselors and taking advice from my GP, I got so fatigued to the point where I was incapacitated. I was sleeping all day, and of course, that was all related. I mean, I knew what the cause was. It was the stress from working conditions, and I didn't see a way forward from that. So I just quit. So I had to give up my career.
Wow.
Which was kind of traumatic at the time, but, you know, looking back on it, that was only 4 or 5 years ago. It was the best decision that I ever made. But it made me realize that not everyone has that option to just quit and start over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm particularly grateful that I had that opportunity. And that set me on the road. Someone mentioned, well, you know, you might consider doing health coaching. And so I checked to see, find out more about it, took a year course out of the States from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. And that kind of got you started. And then I was finding out more about more chronic diseases. And I realized, oh, wait a minute, I need heaps more study to, because this is
it's massive.
And so right now I'm in my second year of from the School of Applied Functional Medicine that goes into it's wonderful. I love this. It goes into all the nitty-gritty interconnectedness of the body systems and that.
I'm
kind of geeking out here.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's totally geeking out here if you could be in the studio with us. So how do you do this? If you're juggling this, so not only you've got your clients, you're in study, you're creating programs, you're doing workshops, how do you juggle this? And do you have any advice?
When I'm juggling, I have to admit, because I'm single, I don't have a family that I also would be looking after at the same time. And I'm so enamored and so appreciative of people who have got that extra level of commitment in their lives. So for me, it's easiest for me to kind of keep things flexible. So when something comes up, an opportunity comes up, I can kind of slot it in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I say, okay, with study, I don't have to do it at certain particular times because it's online.
Right.
And so that means when I get a little bit tired, I can switch and move something else. So for me, it's not so much the juggling that's the issue, it's just trying to keep the flexibility up, because that I don't have a lot of the demands and responsibilities that I know that many people do have. So,
but also just being able to focus like that, to be able to, you know, take it all in that. Do you have any really good focusing tips, you know, like study tips?
Oh, I wish.
For those of us that haven't gone on and done PhDs and things.
I wish I did. The one thing that I've just started doing, because I know we all kind of set up at the beginning of the week, we have a set of goals.
Yeah.
Well, if I don't have those in front of me all the time, they just get forgotten in the sea of other things that have to get done. So in my diary, and I admit I mostly still use a handwritten diary.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that too. Yeah. I do a little bit of both, but yeah, mainly, yeah.
So I write up a slip that has my goals for the week on it, and I actually keep it in my diary. I know this sounds very old school here, but I need to be focused every day on to remind me, okay, these are my goals here. What am I doing today that is going to get me closer to it?
It's great advice, and it's simple and it's easy to do, is have your goals in front of you every single day. I mean, that is great advice. So yeah, then you know, because I know if I get a to-do list and it's overwhelming, but if I just take three or four things from that and I keep them in front of me, I've actually got an accountability partner as well, and so and that's been great, because she's expecting me to report in with what I've said I'm going to, and so I find that really helpful too.
And that's something that I probably need to take on board as well. One of the other things I do as part of my after I do my meditation practice in the morning is then to visualize what I want my business and my life to be like ideally. And it only takes a couple of minutes, so that I'm actually to the point where I can see it in the back of my mind, I can feel it, and then I plan my day. Because then I've actually really quite focused on where I want to go, and I found that I'm a lot more direct in my putting together my to-do list. So that gets me.
I like that. Yeah. It's funny because I've just been reading a little book called Miracle Mornings. I don't know, Hal Elrod, I think. I can't remember his name, but and it's great if you just Google Miracle Mornings, and it's all about setting up, and it talks about having, you know, a bit of meditation and visualization and affirmation, and just setting yourself up for the day, and it makes quite a difference.
It does. Yeah. It does.
I mean, I'm great at starting things, so now I want to keep doing them. Do you have a guiding principle or theme in your life?
I think it's two things. One, to be compassionate, because the people that I'm dealing with, they realize that a lot of the things that they're dealing with right now are a consequence of the choices they've made. So, I mean, you can go on the blame game, but that's not going to work. I mean, people don't deliberately set out to make themselves unhealthy. There are certain circumstances there. And it's just helpful to be understanding that not everyone is the same. People have got different things going on in life that have helped create this situation. So, you know, spend some time and learn about that, and then use that to strategize. So,
and it's also great to actually honor the fact that they've decided to do something about it. That I think is actually really powerful, because knowledge is power. You know, once you apply that knowledge, it's even more powerful. So I think that's brilliant. And we have only got time for one question. I can't believe half an hour's gone already. Maybe we can sneak in one more. What has been the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, okay. That passion by itself is not going to make you successful, okay? Because passion will disappear, especially when you're bogged down with some stuff that is part that you know you have to do, but you're not excited about it. So it has to be the passion in what you do plus a really good work ethic. Those are the things that are going to make you
a success strategy.
Yeah, that's the success strategy.
Dr. Sharon's success strategy. I love it. So my final question, if we can sneak that in, is what is, or can we, what's most remarkable about what you do as I talk to the producer? Can we? Because I love asking this question.
Yes, I know you do, and that's a hard one to answer. I think it's just because of my background that I've led myself, because of a background of engineering and as a scientist, I understand a lot more of how the science, how the studies have been done that tell us, yes, you should eat this or eat that. And I'm much able to separate what's crap and what actually has some truth in
it. It's brilliant. And that is remarkable. Mm. Thank you, Dr. Sharon, for coming along and joining us today.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
I'll put all the links to your sites on the show notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.